He was taken away by oppression and without justice. Who would have considered his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Because of the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Is there no justice in the world? Have you ever said that or thought that to yourself? We hear stories of criminals who are obviously guilty, but get off on a technicality, only to go free and maybe injure even more people. So often the innocent suffer because of apathy in our society. Consider the millions of innocent babies who have been and continue to be aborted, like lambs led to the slaughter. In large cities, victims of crime may scream for help, but their cries go unanswered by those who don't want to be involved. You can find videos online of people being attacked, and no one helps them. They just stand there with their phones filming the whole thing. The disparity between rich and poor grows every year. In the business world, those who bend the rules and step on the toes of others often come out on top. Nice guys may finish last. Is there no justice? Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God come down from heaven and punish the wicked? Why doesn't God just carry out justice? As we discussed several Sundays ago, there are many so-called answers to the question of why there is evil in the world. Some would say, there must not be a God. Others might say, God must not be good, or God doesn't care about us. Some propose that God is an impotent wimp, not powerful enough to stop evil. When we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that we are part of the problem of injustice rather than the solution. Oh, maybe we're the ones who go unpunished, speeding down the highway, or we take that tax break. We may be the ones who turn a deaf ear to others who are in need of help. We may be the ones who step on others as we rush to climb to the top of the heap. And so, if God were to completely eliminate injustice, the truth is, he would have to eliminate us. But God wants all to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. So for now, well, we do not know for how long, God continues to let the world go on, postponing the day of judgment so that more can be brought to faith in Christ. For now, God tolerates humanity's injustice and grants time for people to turn from their unjust ways and repent. Judgment day will come, and when Jesus returns, there will be no more injustice. Each person will either be in heaven, daily worshiping our Lord, or consigned to the fire of hell. But God has not sat by silently. He hasn't sat by as the world has suffered from injustice ever since Cain killed Abel and seemed to get away with it. God has, in fact, done something. Something amazing, something wonderful, something unexpected. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer the greatest injustice that has ever been committed against anyone. And yet, paradoxically, God is the God who, through that injustice, justifies the ungodly, namely us. Jesus never rebelled, never deviated from his Father's will. He committed no violence. There was no deceit found in his mouth. He humbled himself as the silent Lamb of God led to the slaughter. He was spotless, without sin or blemish of any kind. And yet, he was taken away by oppression and without justice. You remember when they came to arrest him? What was Jesus doing? Praying. Praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, unarmed, and a riotous mob comes with swords and clubs to arrest him. He had never used force to coerce anyone to come with him, but now the rabble bound him and forced him away. Jesus could have blown them all away with a word, but instead he tells Peter to put away his sword. He surrendered without a fight, in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Our Lord was deprived of justice. He was deprived due process of law. He endured a hurried makeshift trial before the high priest, before the Jewish council, before Pilate, before Herod, back to Pilate. According to Jewish law, these trials were unjust for a variety of reasons. He was tried at night, before the Passover, in a private home and not a court of law. The verdict was reached prematurely. False testimony, and even the false witnesses couldn't agree. Pilate and Herod together acquitted Jesus a total of 5 times. The sham trials of Jesus were indeed a travesty, a miscarriage of justice, and yet the greatest injustice was this. The innocent one voluntarily suffered for our sin, the sin of all humanity. He was stricken because of our transgression. He suffered the due penalty for our injustice. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. The Lord laid on him the sin of us all. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for our sake, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In this way, God carried out his own form of justice. We call it objective justification, wiping out the sins of humanity upon the cross. He declares us not guilty. The wages of sin is death, we are told, but in God's economy of grace, it was Jesus Christ who has paid out those wages, who endured that death in our place, cut off from the land of the living that we may have everlasting life. His condemnation, our pardon. His judgment, our acquittal. He was taken away by oppression and without justice. Who would have considered his descendants? One of the reasons Jesus was put to death, perhaps the main reason, was to put down whatever revolution it was that he might have been trying to start, to disrupt the entire group. With Christ's death, no one imagined that he would have any future or any future followers. He would be quickly forgotten. The disciples would disband. When the shepherd is struck, the sheep scatter. Who would want to risk suffering the same kind of injustice and death that Jesus endured? Surely this thing was over. Christ rose from the dead. His disciples rejoiced, and they spread the word, told all that they had seen and heard. Pentecost came, and on one day, 3,000 were added to their number. The communion of those baptized into Christ's death and resurrection has grown astonishingly ever since. Today, Christ has millions, if not billions, of descendants, those who are begotten by water and the Spirit, born again in the waters of holy baptism. Only God knows the full number. But who would have ever believed that that could happen? So now when we confront injustice, we do not despair. God has done something about it. We take refuge in the equity of God's justice that condemned the innocent Christ for all our sins so that we might be justified, declared righteous in his sight, and that we would be his descendants, heirs of life eternal. What a gracious injustice that is. In Jesus' name, amen.